It is Tuesday morning. Welcome to the program. If you're just tuning in, it is Vossie and the Missile. James Magnusson. James, who has the gym, the tribe in Marrickville. And we learned today Albo has COVID. We're trying to join the dots here and wish him all the well. And Richard Miles is now the... Albo's still running the country. He can just do it from home, but he'll be... You know, you keep watch, will you, James? Just check him out or maybe deliver some Uber Eats to him today or something?
Yeah, I'll do a quick door knock. Although I think... Surely he'd be in Kirribilli House, not in Marrickville at the moment.
I'm not sure whether he is or isn't.
Text us in if you're a local in Kirribilli. Have you seen Albo pounding the pavement or is he still in Marrickville?
Yeah, okay. Now, look, the World Cup this morning, and it's one of the topics we've been talking about, is there a better way to decide football matches than the penalty shootout? For Kraken, we had this morning... Japan and Croatia finish at 1-1 through regulation time and then 90 minutes of extra time and then the penalty shootout, the first of the tournament. And Croatia got there quite easily on penalties. Japan just couldn't get it into the net. Heartbreaking all the same to get down to this stage of the World Cup and you're out on penalty shootout. Is there a better way? Are you a supporter of the penalty shootout? Do you love the theatre? Or would you like to see an alternative? We've had suggestions of the drop-off. What would work best there? Brazil, there'll be no penalty shootout required there. Brazil beating South Korea 4-0. It has been just a massive statement the first half. Absolutely incredible form. And all of our World Cup updates, thanks to Kraken, your secure crypto partner. Get in the game at kraken.com or download the app. Now, James, we've been joined in the studio by Charlie Goodsir. Yes. Are we going to put the England win over Pakistan as one of the great test match victories of all time? I know we're into making big statements, but, geez, a lot to like about this one. No comment, James?
Well, I'm just looking at Charlie for some stats here to back up whether it is or not.
All right. Well, Charlie's compiled all the evidence. Before we hear from Charlie... These are the last five wickets. England has completed a 74-run victory over Pakistan overnight. There was barely 10 minutes to spare with bad light, and they were able to get the last wicket to win the match. Here's the last five, courtesy of Sky Sports.
Oh, close to going back onto his stumps. England have used up a review.
Impact is in line, Joel, and it's hitting the wickets.
England have their sixth wicket and they will be into the bowlers. Game on. Oh, has it carried? I think it has carried. What a catch. Two in two overs. Brilliant catch. Brilliant work from England.
Oh, brilliant from Pope. Quite brilliant down the leg side. Tickle down the leg side off the glove. Pope moves to his left and pulls off a stunner. Oh, out surely. Yeah, given. Anderson again. Four for Anderson. Nine for England. They are one wicket away.
Oh, close. Very close. Given. Given, I'm sure he'll review, but given. England have won this test match.
Quite incredible. England 657 in their first innings and Pakistan 579 in their first innings, and you still get a result. So very sporting declaration by England. Charlie Goodsir. What's up, Charlie? The sports guru has put together some numbers that make this, let's say this is the evidence for this being one of the great test matches of all time. Charlie, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Missile. Good morning, everyone. It's definitely one of the greatest. It's also one of the most unique because a lot of weird stats that have been broken that many would have thought would have just stood the test of time. But I'll just go through them now. It's the third win ever by England in Pakistan. That goes with Lahore in 1961, Karachi in 2000, and now Rawalpindi in 2022. 1,768 is the third most runs scored ever in a test match. The other two were in 1939 and 1930, and those were timeless tests as well. So this one is the first one where it's been within 5 days. So that's
timeless test. So you're saying that was open-ended. Could go for a week.
Open-ended could go over. It's just getting a result.
That really would piss your missus off.
Yeah, definitely. 4.54. Now, that's the highest run rate ever across four innings in test cricket. So a lot of runs scored over this one. So it definitely wasn't a dull test match as well. 6.5, that was the run rate in England's first innings. That's the highest run rate ever for a completed innings. They scored 657 all out off 101 overs. 1, That is the first test to produce a result despite both teams scoring a total of 550-plus in their first innings. The 15 test matches beforehand that had that occur all ended in draws. So a bit of unwanted history there for Pakistan. 847, that's Pakistan's runs aggregate, and that's the second most for a team who went on to lose the test match. Pakistan's total of 579 in the first innings is also the third highest by any team to also end up losing the test match. This is also the first time a team had four centurions at the conclusion of day one in the test match, and that was for England, after they recorded four for 506. After just 75 overs as well, they went off 15 overs early due to bad light. 233, that was the opening stand between Ben Duckett and Zach Crawley. That is the highest opening stand for England since 2004, and that was between Marcus Trescothick and Andrew Strauss back in South Africa. And then the final stat I've compiled, it's the fastest double century opening partnership in Test cricket and the third fastest for any wicket.
Some real Rain Man stuff there from our, our Chuck. Well, what I'm reading into that, Vossi, not only was this a great test match, it could be the greatest of all time based off those stats.
By the stats, when you consider... So, Charlie, the first day was the most runs ever scored on the opening day of a test match, and they had 15 overs less than what they're entitled to. And they came up 3 runs short of the highest number of runs in a day's play ever. Like, what a shame. What a shame they can get one more over in. They would have probably smacked another 10, 15, 20 runs the way they were going.
Yeah, this is just the introduction of Bazball. Ever since Brendan McCullum become the coach and Ben Stokes become the captain, they've gone with this aggressive approach. They actually declared with a target of 343 with over 5 sessions left. And that's one of the most brave decisions. The stats also back that up. I didn't put that down on the stat sheet, unfortunately. But
we have now, though.
It was a real risk, and I think the reason behind it was that they don't want to do draws. They don't want to draw test matches. They want to win test matches. They want to go for it, and it looked a bit dicey yesterday. Pakistan only needed about 110 runs with 5 wickets in hand, and they just somehow found a way to win, and Look, when I was looking through the stats as well with run rates as well for, you know, certain innings, a lot of new stats have been added or records have been added in 2022 by this England side since the introduction of Brendan McCullum into the side. So the Ashes is going to be really fascinating for the winter in 2023 because Pat Cummins has sort of talked about it and sort of alluded to the fact that they're keeping tabs on the cricket team at the moment. And they're just gaining confidence, this English side, and they're a far cry from the England side that we saw tour out here last summer.
I hope Pat Cummins is as aggressive with his captaincy as Ben Stokes is, because people keep worrying and asking the question, is Test cricket dying? With these sort of, statistics, it shows that it could be more exciting than ever.
Well, that they've reinvented it, which is
I love it.
Really great. And
love it.
The best part about it, I was watching that opening stand between Zach Crawley and Ben Duckett on day one, and it wasn't really... They weren't just playing T20, going for it, just trying to smack balls out of the attack. They were just playing really smart, good cricket shots and just being aggressive in their approach. So it's just a new form of Test cricket, yeah.
Amazing numbers, Charlie. And what's more, we get a dose of the second test beginning on Friday. So there's only a few-day break, a three-day gap, and then they're back into it on Friday. So can't wait for the second test to start and see what happens. Charlie Goodsoo, well done.
Thank you very much.
Charlie Goodsoo, he's on his way out. That is the cricket test, but what a win. 74-run win by England. Incredible numbers. On the text, been talking about discoveries in your attic or garage down in Tasmania. 85 years on, they found the last Tasmanian Tigers remains, perfectly preserved, the fur and bone, skeleton, that sort of thing. Tim says, after my dad passed away, we found some Paul Bongiorno's from the 1970s amongst his stuff. Thanks for sharing that with us. And a shout-out to Paul Bongiorno this morning. He loves it. Aidan, morning, boys. Yes, it's fair enough reason to miss a shift. Football, soccer is a religion for most outside of Australia, the most widely spoken language on the planet. Just need to work around it. So you have, again, James, at your gym.
Yep.
The head coach there is Brazilian?
My head coach, Pedro. Yes. I would say he'd be listening right now, but he wouldn't because he's watching the soccer. He's had Well, you know, I think I'm a pretty understanding boss, Fossey, because I did grant him the morning off. We did have a fill-in coach this morning, so I think I'm a pretty understanding guy. But, yeah, he is very, very passionate about football.
But now you've got the quarterfinal, he's not going to work that shift.
Hopefully they start getting those
that shift, and then the final, he's not going to work that shift.
Yeah, hopefully they start getting those 2 a.m. games, not these 6 a.m.ers, because it's going to kill me.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen. This one here, the big storms in Sydney last night. So Jack Johnson performing at the Opera House. James has declared him the most boring artist he's ever heard. Matt the Panther says, boys, I totally agree with the missile. Jack Johnson is a punish to listen to. Jack Johnson's a punish. He's listening on the app this morning. Oh, what's a punish? Yeah. Is that good or bad? No, you're a punish.
Elevator Jack. Music. That's what I describe Jack Johnson as. Elevator music. Relaxing, but not really a showstopper.
Moses Enriquez coming on the program. I might ask if Jack Johnson's on his Spotify or something like that. any Jack Johnson, if he feels a little high, does he... What you did. You said you played Jack Johnson to bring yourself down.
Yes, to relax myself before a big race. If I was feeling nervous or anxious, I'd play Jack Johnson.
Right. Good morning, guys. Just after some clarification, Michelle's sports update made it seem like the two English players would be playing for the Knights this year. She said they hadn't arrived yet, but will put in a full preseason. Knights press release said they were signed for the 2024 season, so will they be playing 2023? No, it is right. Yeah, 2024 they have signed on for. Thank you, Shane of Liverpool. It is amazing, though, how things can happen in rugby league, that things could pick up momentum around Christmas, and you never know. But no, officially, the two signings are for 2024 and onwards. Let's hope there is success, and out of that, international football stronger, that Great Britain have two more fully-fledged internationals playing in the NRL.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to knock out some sports bet odds for you, Vossi, before we get to a break. Can I just say, my early betting form in the soccer was terrible. I gave a few pretty poor missiles multis. Agreed. But things have turned around. This round of 16, the favourites are back on top. So stick with me here as I read out these odds. Sportsbet, say yeah, nah to Qatar, and yes to Sportsbet, the easiest place to bet this World Cup, of course. Always, Vossi, gamble responsibly. Tomorrow morning, 2 a.m., we've got the Moroccans at $6.50 going up against Spain, $1.57 favourites. I'm tipping Spain in that one, Vossi. The draw, $3.80. 6 a.m. tomorrow, we've got Portugal and Cristiano Ronaldo, $1.85 favourites against Switzerland, who are $4.50 outsiders. The draw, $3.40. 6 a.m. on Saturday, we've got the Netherlands. This could be the game of the tournament so far. $3.50 up against Argentina. That will be a blockbuster. Argentina, the favourites, $2.20. The draw, $3.10. And on Sunday, another blockbuster, 6 a.m. England, $3.10 outsiders versus France, $2.40. The draw, $3.20. And as always, gamble responsibly.
Yeah, $3.10 England. All right,
I like
and
that.
I'm on the Netherlands bus, $3.50. So I could go outside the outsiders.
Double them up on a multi. That'd be about $9 there, Vossi.
Yeah, well, the sportsman, all right. You know your maths too. Roosterman says Jack Johnson is also a punish. He's designed for a beach bar when you talk over the top of them. So just have it.
He's getting hard rap, Jack Johnson, isn't he? He might be our Vossi Oki today. I've got a song for it.
Highly unlikely. It's 7:30 after 7. We've got Moses Enriquez coming up here on 1170 SEN Breakfast with Vossi and the Missile. Vossi and Brandy here. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. Don't forget, you can listen live to the show every weekday morning from 6 till 9.
Tune in through 1170 AM in Sydney or anywhere in the world through the SEN app.